Listening to the front page, 94.7 The Pulse. My name's Rob Cameron. On the line, we have a lady who's probably joined us for, this would be the fifth or sixth time now. We enjoy her chats about Australian-Chinese business relations, but we're going to take a different tack today. Leonie McKeon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rob.
Great to have you back on the show. Each of and every time that we've had a discussion, you have introduce something that's very strong in your vernacular, but new to us, and we learn a little bit more about it each time, and that is the 36 strategies of war, if you like, in Chinese culture, and you touch on how they impact in business relations. But let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's go down to making a serious transition from what is written to what actually happens in practice in a transaction.
Sure. Well, the 36 Chinese strategies, now, they are fundamental thinking, a fundamental concept in Chinese culture. The 36 Chinese strategies are derived from Sun Tzu's famous text, The Art of War, which was actually written 2,500 years ago. So my passion, my job has been to interpret that text so it is understandable to the contemporary business world, to people who work in business, and how do they use these strategies and how do they see when the strategies are used on them. Now, there's 36 of them. We have negotiation strategies. They're essentially negotiation strategies. However, they're very much life strategies. We have negotiation structures in our culture, in Western culture. However, we don't really have a set framework. You know, we can type onto the internet and look, oh, yes, we do this, we do that. But in Chinese culture, every Chinese person knows about the 36 Chinese strategies. They understand them. They have been brought up with them. So it is not surprising that China has grown to this point, become a global power. Now, what are the strategies? All right, if we think of them like Western idioms. For example, don't cry over spilt milk. Now, don't cry over spilt milk doesn't mean that someone is standing there crying and the milk is spilling. We know what that means. There's a code inside it. Now, you know, every person knows what that means. And if we ask ourselves, where did we learn these idioms? We'd probably say, I don't really know. At school, off our parents, they're just in our culture. Well, that's what the Chinese strategies are. They're just in the culture. So if we think of them like Western idioms. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how a strategy works because, as you said, Rob, we've talked about the strategy. So let's give our listeners something to really, you know, to really use. And I'm going to start with strategy one. Strategy one is fool the emperor to cross the sea. Now, just like don't cry over spilt milk, you think, well, if you didn't know what don't cry over spilt milk means, you would think, well, what does that mean? What does fool the emperor to cross the sea actually mean? And this was the issue about the Sun Tzu's The Art of War text, is that a lot of people, the text is in a lot of reading lists, MBA lists, and a lot of people have read it and don't actually know how to take it from that 2,500-year-old text to now. So this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I've done. So, fool the emperor to cross the sea. So we look at that idiom. So who is the emperor? All right, the emperor is you. And what is the sea? The sea is the place where you are being taken. Every strategy comes from a story that's about 2,500 years old. So just a very brief introduction of the story. Okay, so 2,500 years ago, Emperor Li was wanting to fight Korea. However, he was too afraid to go across the sea. And his general thought, well, what will we do? What does Emperor Li like? Well, he loves beautiful food and he loves to drink wine and he loves music. So we're going to decorate the boat with all of this entertainment, and we're going to give Emperor Li great wine and beautiful food. And he laughed and he sang and he got drunk and he ate. And guess what? He arrived in Korea and he didn't even know. Fool the emperor to cross the sea. So how does that work in the contemporary business world? All right. First of all, let's give an example of how it works if a Chinese person or your Chinese contact are using this on you. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is that in Chinese culture, negotiation is everything, whereas in Western culture, it is a piece of the business transaction. We think of negotiation as something that we do at a table where we haggle. Okay, in Chinese culture, negotiation is everything. People often ask me, Leonie, when do we start negotiating? And I'll say, well, when did you meet that Chinese person? Oh, 6 months ago, and we went out for dinner. Okay, that's when you started negotiation. You may not have been talking about prices or anything, but you have started the process. Okay, so let's look at how it's used on you. You get picked up at the airport, and whether that's in China or whether that's in Australia or wherever else, and you go and visit your Chinese contact. And your Chinese contact picks you up at the airport, very hospitable, and they take you to your hotel, they wait for you, they take you to a beautiful restaurant, and you feel comfortable, you feel like you've really got this nailed because you understand Chinese culture, everybody's getting on, you're having a great time, just like the emperor on that boat. You feel comfortable. You feel no longer that Chinese culture is alien to you. Okay, so, and they've even got the beer on the table that comes from your state or your city, so you will feel really comfortable. Now, the advice here is, when you feel safe, you're in danger. And that doesn't mean sitting there all stiff and all. It means be aware. Fool the emperor to cross the sea is being played out. Because you feel comfortable, what will happen is someone will ask you a question, and it could be a question about the price, the delivery date, the colour, the size, whatever your product may be, and you answer not understanding that you are answering a question that is entering into a negotiation.
Yep.
Because you think that this is informal. Because in Australian culture, in Western culture, the business actually starts the next day. So you think you're going out for dinner, everything starts the next day, that's fine, I don't really have to worry. So you are the emperor being fooled to go across the sea. You answer something, and then you're in a spot where you think, oh no, I've said something I shouldn't have, and that sets up the meeting for the next day, which means that you may come out second best because you've talked about a price or a colour or a size or whatever. So you have to think, I am the emperor, I'm going across the sea, how far do I want to go, and where is the shore?
Yeah. I actually read that wrong, Leonie, because at the start of that I thought the lesson there to put into Western lessons is to take someone out of their comfort zone, but it's actually to put someone in their comfort zone.
There is another strategy about out of your comfort zone, which we will do in another edition of this, but you're absolutely right. It's putting someone into their comfort zone, and when you're in your comfort zone, you feel comfortable. So, okay, so the guarding against just means that this strategy is in play. So you need to be aware of what you say. Just understand that Chinese people are expert negotiators. Let's look at how you use this on a Chinese person. Okay, so what is familiar to a Chinese person, which is kind of unfamiliar to us? It's the language. All right, because if you provide something totally in English, even if someone's English is very good, they will feel better if whatever you have is translated into Chinese. It might be an itinerary, it might be a meeting schedule or whatever, because you might think, well, we don't really have to do that because they speak quite good English anyway. Remember, English is their second language, if they weren't born in Australia. English is their second language. So you make them feel comfortable. Now, the difference between group culture and individual culture, and excuse me if I'm generalising here, but I have to make this point. Generally speaking, culture and individual culture eats off individual plates. We sit around a table and we each have a plate and we eat individually. However, in a group culture, the food is in the middle of the table and you eat in a group fashion, in a group style. So if you take your Chinese guests out for dinner the first night and you take them to a restaurant where they eat off individual plates because you're trying to introduce them to this culture that, you know, you're going and giving them a great steak or something, you know, amazing, but it's actually totally from your culture. Unconsciously, they will feel cut off from you. So the very first night you take them out, it doesn't have to be a Chinese meal, but if you can take them out where it's a group style eating fashion so that then they don't feel cut off, they feel comfortable, and then you will be able, just with those two things, you may be able to think of more, but they're the two things that come to mind that are quite easy to do. And then you are able at that dinner to talk about things and address questions because they feel comfortable, that there will no longer be a resistance. Now, the 36 Chinese strategies, not only are they fantastic, well, you really need to know them to deal with Chinese culture. They're absolutely critical to know. Even if you don't know the whole 36, just a few is really useful. And even what I'm telling you now, you will probably be able to go away and think, yes, I understand this now. I know, fool the emperor to cross the sea. Think of yourself as the emperor. Where is the sea? It's like, don't cry over spilt milk. What is the milk? What is the crying? You know, the emperor, the sea. Okay, so let's take China right out of the picture, because the art of war is actually on a lot of MBA reading lists and lots of business degrees. Well, it's on those because it's a very good book.
Yeah, I must say, last night I mentioned to a friend of mine that we were having this discussion today on the 36 strategies, and he said he'd read this book about the art of war without realising that they're actually one and the same.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And so all of those people doing the business degrees, they're not all dealing with China. This is just about negotiation and about understanding how to maneuver. This is not I win, you lose. This is not I get the best price, you get the bad price. This is about maneuvering so everybody actually does get what they want. Even though some of the strategies may seem a little bit, well, maybe nasty, because some of them are called like murder with a borrowed knife or lure the tiger down the mountain. However, think of them as like don't cry the spilt milk. They don't mean that. You have to find the code into them.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, in China, where it's very much part of the culture, and you mentioned that everyone knows the strategies, does that change the art of negotiation when you don't actually have an advantage over who you're negotiating with because they're playing exactly the same game?
Oh, do you mean if you don't know that, Rob?
Yeah, well, no, if you do. Say you're in a position where you have studied these. So if you're negotiating with the Chinese business for an Australian counterpart on their behalf and you know the game, you know that the person you're negotiating with knows the game, does it mean that you have to find a new game to play, or are you happy playing the game where you're both very good at?
Okay. This is the game that China plays. It's like picking up a racket and playing with Roger Federer. It's not going to be a different tennis match. It's going to be the same tennis match because that's the tennis match they play. And they will they will actually like it because you are now playing their game. You are able to hit the ball back.
So it's actually complementing their culture to have you on the same page.
Absolutely. If you the strategies on, within the strategies come a lot of cultural issues, which means that you know with the other strategies that you know where to sit at the table, you know about hierarchy, you know about a lot of these things, you know about loss of face, you know about networking, the networking component. So it's about being able, you know, for yourself, with Fool the Emperor Across the Sea, for yourself, it's a very good strategy to understand, because several times we'll be taken out and we don't realise that we're now in a position where we said something, oh no. That's really just about guarding yourself against it. However, if you apply the strategy to Chinese people, they will feel like you understand their culture. Gee, this is in Chinese language. They understand me. This is fabulous. These people understand where I'm coming from. You know, they take me out to a group type dinner, not just put me at a restaurant with individual plates and a knife and fork and I go, oh, you know, what do I do with this? You actually understand me, because, and that will give them a compliment. It also puts you on the same level as them, not so much, because if you don't understand it, you're always underneath. You're always got one, trying to put one foot in front of the other. And look, I can almost guarantee that if people don't understand, even just understand that the strategies exist, they will come unstuck. And I think we've seen this, you know, over the last year, people not truly understanding how China thinks, because we can't play the game. If you don't know the rules, how do you play the game?
So let's go all the way back to when I first found you, and when the first conversation we had, it was out about the Australian Chinese business negotiations that went so horribly wrong, and it, now that you've explained all that to me, it's more apparent that the naivety of whoever was doing the negotiating from the Australian side, and let's say it was the Prime Minister speaks on behalf of the group, that his entry into the negotiations was so culturally sensitive and so poorly done that immediately the other party offside, and it hasn't really recovered all that well since that very bad start.
That's a very good understanding of what has happened, because we never really, you know, who was in power and who was doing this, never really sort of truly understood, and probably still doesn't, about how this actually works. And you know, people say to me, Rob, well, are Chinese people learning about us? Now, that's a really good question. However, I will answer that with a question. How many Chinese students have studied and are still studying in Australia? 1,000. So, yes, they're learning about our business course in great detail.
Just on that too, Leonie, let's change the word learn for respect. How many Chinese people respect Australia? Do you think that one of the fears that Australian people have, and whether it's right or not, is that China doesn't respect Australia and sees us as an easy take. Do you do a lot of this? Do you sense that there is an element of that involved, or do you think they genuinely do respect and want to engage on a level playing field?
I think that if we understand their thinking, they will have more respect. But at the moment, it's we're not really understanding how they're thinking. So therefore, you know, it's kind of like, oh, gee, well, you don't understand how I think anyway. It's I suppose it's basic communication, you know, 101 communication. You know, you're communicating with someone, and you know, in any context, and if they don't, if you don't understand what's in their head and what's going on, well, it's really difficult for them to respect you, so to speak.
Yeah, it's interesting. Play out, and again, though, I think the last time we talked about whoever's advising the Australian government on negotiations, but you'd think somewhere in the Liberal Party cabinet there might have been someone who read The Art of War and would be starting to think along the way on the lines that you're trying to explain at the moment and get things back on an even keel, but the appetite for that seems to be non-existent.
Well, I think it's also about stepping back and learning. And, you know, what I do understand with politicians, they're very time poor. And what has happened too is that we've gone along, you know, we've gone along with China and everything has been going fine up until the last couple of years. And I think a lot of people haven't really bothered to understand because they haven't had to. You know, it's been, you know, we've been buddy-buddy with China, but then if we don't understand what's going on in their heads culturally or the framework that they're operating within, then when something does happen, how can we understand it? So it's about stepping back and looking at it and saying, okay, well, these people do think differently, and we think differently. We both, and but if we you know, came around and understood something more about Chinese culture, the people in power, then perhaps we would find similarities within that and then be able to understand it. And it's not, the 36 strategies is not about saying, well, I understand the 36 strategies. It's fundamental. It's like saying, oh, well, I understand don't cry with spilt milk. You wouldn't even say it because it's so fundamental in our culture. It's about learning, okay, and then you go on, you move forward. You wouldn't even talk about it. I mean, I wouldn't even talk about this with Chinese people. In fact, if I do, they go, wow, that's fantastic, Leonie. I've delivered this, these presentations in conferences, you know, literally hundreds of times, and I've had many Chinese people in the audience, and I have had absolute utmost respect from those people because I talk about them also in a very positive way because I think they are very clever strategies. And they help, you know, people in life generally, in business generally. You don't have to be dealing with China. They can be used in any context.
Yeah. It's a fascinating subject, and I would like to delve a little bit deeper in some of the other strategies and put them into actual context of something that you may have done either successfully or unsuccessfully when the strategies were used well or used poorly. I think it's really good. But appreciate your time this morning. Go and enjoy some beautiful Adelaide sunshine, and thank you very much again.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
All the best.
Bye for now.
Leonie McKeon opening up an interesting little Pandora's box on negotiations with a different culture. We probably do it in our daily lives, whether it might be someone across the back fence, a neighbour or a business associate or something. But in this particular case, with Australia and Chinese negotiations, the implication